is truth. So notice it says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So this is God speaking to man and saying, describing himself to us. So go to Deuteronomy 32:4, and we'll look at one more verse. We'll pray and get started. But as usual, we'll start by establishing that this is a natural moral attribute of God. It's who he is. Who would read Deuteronomy 32:4? Any volunteers? Thank you, Beryl. A God of truth. So today, we look at the 10th and final moral attribute of God, which is truth. Our God is true. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we look into your word. Use it to teach us, grow us. And Lord, we've truly been moved by learning more about you. May it truly give us that desire to be more like you and to spend more time with you, to be more thankful of who you are. And even today, we pray the Holy Spirit would now use your word to help and grow us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures together, just showing that this is a natural moral attribute of God. Psalms 25, verse 10. That this is part of God's character. Next will be Psalm 31, 5. As I studied this one, I found that it's almost as, it might be the second most prevalent in Scripture after holiness. So who would read Psalm 25:10? Philip, thank you. Amen. Psalm 31:5. Volunteers? Pastor Shannon?
Unto thine head I commit my spirit, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth.
Lord God of truth. Now Psalm 33:4, and then Psalm 57:10. Somebody would turn there to read that for us. So Psalm 33:4, and then Psalm 57:10. Who would read 33:4? We're just establishing. Howard, thank you.
The word of the Lord is right.
Done in truth. And then 57:10. Jackie, thank you.
For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds.
Thy truth unto the clouds. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 86:15. And then Psalm 100, verse 5. So who would read 86:15? Philip? Amen. Psalm 100, verse 5. Thank you, Howard.
The Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 117, verse 2. And then Psalm 146, 6. As you can see, the Psalms has a lot to say about the truth of God. So Psalm 117, verse 2, and Psalm 146, verse 6. Who would read 117, 2? Thank you.
For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Isn't that good? The truth of the Lord endureth forever. And then Psalm 146, 6. Beryl? Keepeth truth forever. New Testament, John 17, verse 3. Who would read that for us? John 17, 3. Get right in there. Any volunteers? 17. Thank you, Mark.
And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God in Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent.
the only true God. This is Jesus speaking to man, and he says, the only true God. Now Romans 3, 3 and 4. Who would read those two verses for us? Romans chapter 3, 3 and 4. Pastor Shannon?
For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea. Let God be true, but every man is a liar, as it is written. For thou mightest be justified in thy savings, in thy saying, sorry, and the mightest overcome them thou that art judged.
Amen. So let God be true, but every man a liar. Remember, this is God's word. Let God be true. Okay, let's look in Revelation here at the end times. We'll see as well that the truth of God is a prevalent part of who he is. Revelation 6:10 and Revelation 15:3. Thank you, Beryl. So like I shared, I believe as I studied this, it's probably the second most prevalent. And did you notice here they said holy and true? So those are kind of the bookends, if you will, of the moral attributes of God. And then Revelation 15:3, the Song of Moses. Jackie? Just and true are thy ways. Our God is true. Amen? And we are very blessed to be able to say that. He is always true, honest. He is truth and the embodiment of truth, which means God cannot lie, which is a great thing as well. Mark?
Sometimes the word truth, and I suppose in our vernacular, in a sense, to say something that is true, it's sound.
Right. Correct. It is, that is part of the root.
Yeah.
Yes. That it's sound, but it's also always, well, true is a hard word to define. I mean, how do you define true, really, when you think about it? Because we want to say, yeah, but it's true. Okay, what's that mean? Beryl?
Honest,
that's a man thing, but it is honesty, and we're going to talk about honesty. God wants us to be honest, but honest is almost weak compared to the word true, isn't it? So it's one of those words that's kind of hard to define, kind of like holy is hard to define. But God can't lie. That's one way in which his truth is manifested, is the Bible says he cannot lie. God is not a man that he should repent, neither the Son of Man that he should lie, sorry. Numbers 23:19, God can't lie. Titus 1:2 says God cannot lie. So God can't lie. One of the ways he manifests himself is he can't lie. But the embodiment of truth also, as much as any of the other attributes, comes out in all three parts of the Godhead, which is quite fascinating. So we've already seen that Jehovah, primarily, we saw in Psalms, is true. But if we come to the book of John, we find that in chapter 1, let's go there, John chapter 1, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second part of the Godhead, is also truth, which is just another proof of his deity. Because we've already read that only God is true. So, John, who would read verses 14 and 17 of John chapter 1? And we'll see that Jesus Christ now, when he's introduced by John, is truth. So 14 and 17, any volunteers? Brother Scott?
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, by grace and truth, came by Jesus Christ.
Isn't that good? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then John 14, 6, we don't even need to turn there, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is not only true, he is truth. He says, I am the truth, which again, he has to be Jehovah to be the truth. There can only be one truth.
You can say the truth is right.
That's true. Amen. And then 1 John, let's go there. John also, he really emphasized this attribute of Jesus Christ. So 1 John 5, verse 20, he mentions it twice in this verse about Jesus Christ being true. So who would read 1 John 5, 20? Beryl? So the word true is in there three times, but twice is talking about Jesus. And then the last phrase, it says, this is the true God, eternal and eternal life. So clear expression of the deity of Jesus Christ there. What is the true God? Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus returns, Revelation 19, let's turn there, verse 11, when he returns to the earth on a white horse to set up his kingdom and judge the nations, Revelation 19:11. Look what the Bible says about his person. Who would read that? Revelation 19, verse 11. Jackie?
And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
So this is Jesus on a white horse returning to earth. The Bible says he's called Faithful and True. So Jesus Christ is true. If that is true, which it is, then that must mean that the Holy Spirit is also true. Amen? If he's God. And sure enough, if we go to John 16 and verse 13, Jesus made this very clear, which is a clear expression of the deity of the Holy Ghost. So who would read John 16, verse 13? Thank you, Philip. So he's referred to as the Spirit of truth. And when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. So Jehovah is true, Jesus Christ is true, and the Holy Ghost is true. One more on the Holy Ghost, 1 John 5, 6. Let's turn there. Who would read that one? First John 5, 6. Philip, thank you.
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
The Spirit is truth. So look at that. Jesus Christ is truth, Jehovah is truth, and the Spirit is truth. So you know where we're going to go from here, right? The Word of God. Because Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus, that must mean that the Word of God is truth. So we'll see that. Psalm 119, of course, the longest chapter in the Bible, which happens to be a chapter exclusively about the Word of God. So verse 142, then somebody will read verse 151, please. So who would read 119, 142? Howard, thank you.
Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
Thy law is the truth. And then verse 151. Thank you, Philip.
Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true.
And then my favorite, 119, 160. Who would read that one? Doug?
Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
Thy word is true from the beginning. Praise the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus Christ, referring to his word. Who would read John 8, 32? Thank you, Howard.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
One of those verses that the world actually knows. They use it all the time, don't they? Straight from Scripture. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Of course, when the world uses it, they're not referring to the Word of God, but that's what it's referring to. John 17, 17. Jesus Christ speaking again. Who would read this? Mr. Scott?
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
So Jesus, the truth speaking, says, thy word is truth. Isn't that beautiful? And then Ephesians 1:13, one more on the word of God. Oh no, there's a couple more actually. Ephesians 1:13, and then after that, if somebody could go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So Ephesians 1:13, any volunteers? Jackie? After that you heard the word of truth. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. It's talking about people who are unsaved and reject Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2, who would read 10 to 12? Very important passage. Any volunteers? Howard, okay.
With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness.
So they received not the love of the truth, and then it says they believed not the truth. And this is what will condemn people to hell, isn't it? Because they believe not the truth. The truth about Jesus Christ and the gospel. You must believe the truth to be saved. Okay, and then 2 Timothy 2:25. Who would read that for us? Establishing that Jehovah is truth, Jesus is truth, the Holy Spirit is truth, and the Word of God is truth. 2 Timothy 2:25. Beryl? That's our goal when we witness, is that God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And then James 1:18, last one. Any volunteers? About the Word of God being truth. James 1:18. Jackie.
What is going to forget here is the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
So God says he begat us. It means we were born again with the word of truth. So the word is involved in our salvation, as we know. Of course, the world, they can't find truth, can they? Remember Pilate when he was questioning Jesus? Anybody remember the phrase he said about truth? What is truth? Exactly. Pilate said, what is truth? Because Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. When he was speaking to Pilate, and Pilate said, what is truth? And that's what the world's asking, isn't it? What is truth? Well, we know what truth is. It's our God and his word. That's truth. So what does that mean for us? Well, first of all, yes, we're going to talk about how we're to emulate it. But God actually says we should be treating the truth in certain ways, Him included. And so I want us to focus on that. First of all, He wants us to proclaim it, but He wants us to proclaim that it is truth. So He wants us not only to proclaim the truth, but He wants us to proclaim that it is truth. So to be telling the world, this is truth, this is the Word of God, and then share the truth, which is, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Psalm 40, verse 10, let's look at that. So who would read that? Psalm 40, verse 10, Beryl. So David said, I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. And then go to Psalm 138, 2. We're to be praising God for His truth. Psalm 138, verse 2. When was the last time you praised God for His truth? Any volunteers? 138, 2. Mr. Scott?
Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts.
138, 2, brother. Right. Happens to me all the time.
I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thy has magnified thy word above all thy name.
This is actually a very powerful doctrinal verse as well. That last phrase, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Think about what that says. Magnified thy word above all thy name. But the point I wanted to make of the verse today is he says, I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. As God's children, we should also be resting in His truth. Go to Psalm 91, verse 4, and we'll see this. Psalm 91, verse 4. In other words, let it be our protection. Who would read that? Beryl? His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Isn't that beautiful? God's truth can protect us. And you know what I'm going to say? He wants us to study it. Amen? We all know 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to be studying it. And even when we worship the Lord, John chapter 4, let's turn there. We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So John 4, who would read verses 23 and 24? John 4, 23, 24. Philip?
The hour cometh now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Well, we understand what He means by worship Him in the Spirit. In other words, we must have the Holy Spirit. Our spirit must have life, which means we're born again. And when we worship Him, it must be through our spirit and not our flesh. But what does it mean when you say worship Him in spirit and in truth? Jackie? Okay. Worship Him in truth. What does that mean? So obedience. What about honesty? When we worship the Lord, should we be doing it in complete openness and honesty? And that's talked about if we go to Psalm 145:18. When we come to God to worship Him, we must be doing it in truth. We must be true about where we are, who we are. We can't come to God and worship Him while trying to be deceptive or try to lie like Adam and Eve did. their worship was hindered, wasn't it? Because they sinned. So 145:18, who would read that? Very important verse. Beryl? To all that call upon Him in truth. So as we come to God to worship and to pray, we must be doing it in truth. You know, David said in his penitential Psalm 51, he said, "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Psalm 51:6. God desires complete openness and truth when we come to Him. And yes, just like with all the others, God wants us to emulate this with His help. So Romans 12, we'll turn there. And who would read 17, 19? Oh, sorry, that's disregard. Proverbs 12. We will end up in Romans 12, but let's go to Proverbs 12. And who would read 17, 19, and 22? Proverbs 12 is the tongue chapter. So anybody willing to read those three verses, 17, 19, 22? And we'll see what God wants. Jackie?
He that speaketh truth sheweth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight.
So we see the stark contrast, right? Between truth and what is it? Lying. All three of those verses contrast truth and lying or false witnessing. And so it's very clear what God wants from us. He wants our tongue to always speak the truth. And then in Romans 12 now, verse 17. Volunteers? Beryl? Provide things honest in the sight of all men. God wants complete honesty. 2 Corinthians 8:21. Who would read that? We are to be emulating God's truth by being completely open and honest at all times. 2 Corinthians 8:21. This one makes that very clear. Doug?
Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men.
Not only in the sight of the Lord, which we've looked at when we worship and pray to Him, but also, it says, in the sight of men. So God wants honesty in both realms. He wants us to always be true. 1 Thessalonians 4 says we're to walk honestly, but my favorite is Ephesians 4:15, where we'll finish this morning. Who would read that? Ephesians 4:15. Pastor Shannon?
But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, even Christ.
That is one of our commands, speaking the truth in love. So we're to speak the truth at all times. So our God is truth. Praise God. And that is the final of the 10 moral attributes that we're going to study together. And I hope it has given you an even greater love for our God and who He is. And how blessed we are that our God, our Creator, is all of these things. So can anybody remember?